All right, let's settle in, find those seats. We're going to continue on in our transformation series. We're talking about what it looks like to be transformed, about how God changes our lives. And that's what we really, that's what this is about, right? We know heaven's a great thing, but Christianity isn't just about getting to heaven. It's also about having our life transformed here, right? That we're going to be different. We're going to be more Christ-like. And so we're talking about that, about how God changes our life, how he transforms our life. The key verse for the series that we're building off of is Romans 12:2, and it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so we're starting with this premise that the world, that we live in a world that is constantly trying to form us, shape us, make us conform into a certain way, right? That there's a pattern, like a cookie cutter thing. The world's trying to run us through this pattern to make us, conform us all to be the same way and to be about the same things and being about the ways of the world. And this is naturally happening to us as we live our lives in the world. And in the midst of that, though, the Bible says, don't fall for that. Don't fall for that lie that you have to be about the things of the world. Don't conform to the patterns of the world, but instead be transformed, to be changed, to be different from that. So instead of conforming to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that verse, we're going to highlight one part of that verse today, and that's the renewing of your mind. Today we're going to be talking about having a transformed mind. Okay, that's the aspect we're going to be talking about today. And it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because I think it's pretty clear, we think about it, that life transformation starts up here, right? It starts in our mind. It doesn't start with behavior. Behavior is a result of what's happening up here. The transformation begins in our mind, and it comes out of our fingers and our toes, right? But it starts in our mind. Because every action, everything we do, begins with a thought, right? Everything you do, it begins with a thought. Now, it could be as simple as I'm thinking I'm going to raise my hand in the air, so before my hand goes up in the air, right? There's that, right? That your brain works in your body, moves your body around with your thoughts. But even deeper than that, your belief system, the things that you believe, they control your life, right? You do the things you do because of the things you believe in your mind. The choices you make, the things that you believe to be true about yourself, about the world, about God, about anything, they affect what we do. They affect our actions, right? They control the things that I do are all affected by what I believe in my mind. So the key for a transformed life is beginning with a transformed mind, because our minds are key to how we live our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but as for me, my mind often has a mind of its own. Right? My mind, it will just run off sometimes. You guys ever do that? Like, it'll just run off. You'll sit down. You know what happens the worst for me? I'll sit down and start praying. And I'll be praying and praying. And then all of a sudden be like, where the heck am I? What just happened? Like, my brain just ran off and did this little thing over here. I'm like, wait, get back here. Right? And it just runs off down these little rabbit trails, and you don't even realize where it went, right? Or maybe I do it in conversation sometimes. I'm talking with somebody, and I'm listening, and all of a sudden I realize, whoa, I don't even know what I was thinking. This last few minutes, I wasn't even hearing any of that. You know, my mind ran off to the duties of the day, or my golf swing, or the conversation that you had with somebody, and am I the only one that does that? I hope not. Yeah, mine. You guys are on board with that. Good. I thought I was like, uh-oh, am I going crazy here? You know, you're at work, you're doing a task, and all of a sudden, your mind has just gone down a trail, and you don't know how it got there, and you didn't control it to get it there. It just went there. That our mind sometimes has a mind of its own. It runs off. And also, it seems like it runs off the most when I lay down to sleep at night. Right? And you lay down to sleep, and when you want to shut that mind off, right, the goal is to shut the mind off and sleep, that's when it turns all the way up, and it just starts running all over the place, right? And usually it's not good places where it runs, right? It's not like, oh, I'm so happy with everything, I'm so content, right? When we lay down to sleep, that's when it runs to all those it runs crazy, right? All over the place, to all these different things, and let's I think we have a word for that. We call it anxiety, right? Anxiety. When our mind, when we can't shut our mind off, We try to control it, but it runs off in all these different places. It's a mind, when your mind is running out of control, it's like anxiety, right? And it, all of a sudden you lay down to sleep and your mind runs to all these fears, right? Maybe fears about the future. All these crazy what ifs. Oh man, what if this were to happen? What if that were to happen? You start stressing out and get anxiety about all these totally unfounded fears. Like they're totally made up. They're not even grounded in anything, but all these what ifs, and our life begins to be characterized by fears. Our mind runs off to all these things. Or maybe it's regret for the past. So it could be, you know, fears for the future. It could be regrets for the past about bringing up old conversations, old things that maybe where you messed up and you wish that would have gone different. Or, it's just running through old things in your past and regret comes in with that. Your mind just runs to those things. Or else it's in the present day. It's about maybe the next day, the things you have to do or the things that are going on in your life. And usually it runs to those things that are outside of our control, right? If you're trying to control the things that are outside of our control and it just causes us anxiety, and as we're trying to shut off our mind, we can't shut it off because it's running wild, out of control, all these different things. And that's just evidence. When our mind's running like that, it's evidence of an unhealthy mind, of a mind that's running wild, running on its own, or a mind that needs to be brought back under control. And so we're going to be talking today about having a transformed mind, a mind that doesn't run off to fear and anxiety, but instead a mind that's settled with peace, that's under control of peace. And those are kind of the opposites, right? Anxiety is running, mind's running wild. Peace is a mind under control, right? Not saying that there's not things that are stressful out in the world. It's not saying that everything's under control, but saying your mind, we have control over our minds that doesn't run off to all these things. It can stay settled in peace. And so that's what we're talking about today how do we take control of our mind to have a healthy mind, a transformed mind? Because I hope I'm not the only one here that confesses I got a broken mind, right? It just runs off and it does its own thing. And I don't even know where it went. I'm like, come back here. And I can't, you know, it's like a wild, you know. You remember that cartoon Tasmanian Devil, right? That's what my mind feels like sometimes. And running off all over the place, right? So we're going to be talking about that, about how God transforms our mind. How do we fix our broken mind? So our central truth, our main point that we're going to get to today is this. When you fix your mind on God, God fixes your mind. When you fix your mind on God, God fixes your mind. When you can take your mind and set it upon God, not the craziness of the world, but if you can set your mind on God, then He will in turn fix your mind. He'll heal our mind, bring it to a place of peace. If we can fix our mind on God, then He'll in turn fix our mind. So our passage today that we're going to see this from is in Philippians chapter 4. So if you've got Bibles, let's open up to that together. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is towards the back. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those are all sound the same, but the order they go in is got to eat popcorn, if you ever forget that. So P is for popcorn, so that's Philippians. G-E-P-C, so Philippians. We're going to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 is where we're going to start. Philippians 4. I'm going to read verses 4 to 9 about getting our minds under control, having a transformed mind. All right, this is what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. All right. So we're going to see from this passage that when we fix our mind on God, He fixes our mind. He transitions our anxiety and fear and worry into peace. Takes our mind that's out of control and brings it under control. So as we talk about this passage, talks about fixing our mind on God, it's going to focus on a few aspects of that, aspects of God that we're going to fix our mind on too. So first aspect is this: fix your mind on God's presence. in those moments of worry and doubt, to fix your mind on God's presence. Again, it starts in verse 4. It said, I'm going to read this again. Verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Notice he highlights, in the midst of anxiety, we can still rejoice. Why? The Lord is near. He's here. He's here with us. Right? When our mind's running wild, it's usually panicking, right? My mind's doing this, oh no, no, oh no. Right? That's what my mind is really doing, right? It's running and panicking because things are out of control and it's running off all these places. But remember, the things that are going on in our lives, we're not facing this stuff alone, right? We're not facing this alone. That God is with us. The Lord is near. We forget about God's presence. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God is with you in this. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Do not fear or be in dread, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you." It didn't say, "Do not fear or be in dread because you can handle it." No, it says, "Do not fear or be in dread because it's the Lord your God that goes with you." And it sometimes, in the midst of this, it feels like we're alone. And you're trying to process this stuff, and it won't get processed, and you realize, I can't do it on my own, and we get fear and worry and doubt of what could happen. And that's when the devil gets in and starts lying to you, right? Oh, you're in trouble now. Can you imagine if that happened? Ooh, boy. What if this happened, then that happened, then this happened? Where would you be then? You'd be in bad shape, right? And all these fears and doubt, worry comes in. Said, you're on your own in this. The devil tries to tell us in those dark moments that God don't care. He's up in heaven. He's going to see what you got, and if you don't got it, then you're out of luck. He's not going to help you. Or, in those dark moments, the devil will lie to you and say, why would he help a sinner like you? And start running through your mind all those things that you've done while you're not worthy. God's not going to help you. You're a disobedient little child. He's not going to help you. Right? And all these reasons why God won't come through for you, and this worry and doubt and fear. But remember, no, God is with us. The Lord is near. Rejoice. The Lord is near. And he's not sitting passively up in heaven on a throne just watching like this. I hope they figure that one out. No, he's active. He's at work. Right? He's doing his thing. He's doing our thing. And we can trust him. The Lord is near. So in the midst of anxiety and fear, we can fix our mind on God. Not just on God, but that he's near. He's involved. He's in the situation. So we can fix our mind on God's presence. Second, fix your mind on God's past works. Fix your mind on what he's done. Fix your mind on God's past works. It says, after verses 4 and 5 and verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." You don't say through and with thanksgiving. That's key. What's thanksgiving? It's remembering what God has done and praising him for how active he's been and how much he's done in your life. So when we're having those moments of fear and doubt and anxiety, when our mind is running wild, we can instead take our mind off of those things, fix it on God, and specifically fix our minds on God, thanking him for what he's done. Looking back at our own life, recounting in our life how God has worked, how God has done amazing, amazing things in our lives, where God has brought us out from, the ways he's answered prayers in the past. Maybe he's answered prayers recently or way in the past. But keeping those on our minds, fixing our minds on those things of how God has been actively at work in your life. But the way he's come through for you, the things he's taught you, the ways he's been changing you, and thanking him for that. Because in thanking him for that, we're acknowledging the things that he's done in our lives. So we can see what he's done in our own lives, and we always need to be recounting that. We can also look in the Bible and see where he's been active throughout history. We can look and see how he delivered his people from slavery in Egypt and say, holy cow, that's my God. Woo! Right? I don't know how I'm going to deal with my boss tomorrow, but wow. If God is with me, look at this, right? We can look at how he's been at work and how he healed people, going through healing people with like blind, and he provided food for those in need, and all these ways we see God at work, and we're like, holy cow, that's God. And thanking him and praising him for what he's done, for his past works, fixing our mind on what he's done. And if you have any doubt, like, oh, I don't know what he's done, how about this? How about the cross? He went to the cross for you. If you can't point to what he's done in your life, point to that. You were a sinner. You deserve punishment. You're an enemy of God, but by Jesus going to the cross for you, he's forgiven your sin and brought you in right relationship with him. I mean, holy cow, that's something we can look to and rely on in the midst of anxiety. When our mind is running wild, we can fix our mind on God, his presence, and also on his past works, what he's done, and remember those things. That's why in the Old Testament, God always introduced himself that way. I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God that's done all these things. He's always reminding them. That's how they always referred to him, because they're always bringing to mind what he's done, remembering the work he's done. I think we need to take a cue from that and always have a list in our mind of what God has done for us, so we can always go back to that list in those moments of worry and doubt when our mind's running wild and we just can't get it under control. Fix our mind on those things to calm, to bring about peace. Okay, so fix our mind on God's presence. Fix our mind on God's past works. And then third, fix your mind on God's provision. On God's provision. Again, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So focusing on his provision, we're trusting in God to meet that need. Whatever that thing that's bothering you, that worry, take it to God and trust in him to meet that need. Trust in his provision. It's not fixing our mind on how am I going to solve this thing, but fixing our mind on trusting God, on God's provision, that God can handle it, right? That he's going to handle it. I think so often we say we believe in God and God's my Lord and Savior and I trust in God and all this. We say those things, but we live like atheists. Right? We say that there's a God in the universe, he's in charge of all things, and I love him, and he loves me, but yet when anything comes in my life, well, I just got to figure this thing out, right? And it's on ourselves, it's on myself. And at most, we'll pray, God, help me figure this thing out, right? And we don't take our issues to God. We don't actually do this step of with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, presenting our request to God. We kind of leave that part out, and we feel like we know that God loves us, and we know that God exists, and we believe all these things. We don't live like it when we don't trust him for his provision. We know he's good, right? We know he's with us. We know he's proven in his past, the things he's done in our lives. So we still got to take the step, though, of relying on that. Because of those things, I can rely on him. I can trust these things with him. When my mind's running crazy at all these different fears, I can take those fears to God, right? I can take those to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Those fears, those worries, we can cast those on him. Just throw them off your shoulders, toss them on him, and he says, I can handle it because I care for you. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there's kind of two aspects of this trusting, fixing our eyes on God's provision, about trusting him with these situations. One is going, taking it to him, right, in prayer. We got to go to him in prayer with the thing. And then the second part of that is we got to trust him, right? We got to back away and release it over to God. Sometimes we'll do, if this is my problem, I'll pray like this. God, this thing, and then we do this, right? We hold on to it. Help me with this thing. And then we keep carrying it around, right? But it means releasing it to God, right? About trusting God. Trusting God fully means releasing it over to him. Having faith, releasing it to him in faith. Matthew 21:21, Jesus replied, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done in the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. James 1 tells us that when we pray, we must believe and not doubt, because the man who doubts is double-minded and will receive nothing from God. Now, I'm not saying you're going to convince God because of your mighty faith that God's going to do what he normally wouldn't do because you believe so strongly. But I do believe that when we go to God and we don't trust him for that thing, he's not going to do that thing for it. He's not going to come through. If we go to God about a thing and we don't trust him about that thing, and then he solves it, we're going to give credit to the thing we trusted, right? If I trust in my own ability to figure that thing out, if I go to God and say, help in this situation, but then I keep on figuring, and then I figure it out, then who gets the glory? I figured it out, right? At most, we'll say, thanks God for helping me figure it out, but who figured it out, right? Here's a good way to know if you've really released something to God. When you take it to God in prayer, if you bring something to God in prayer, and then you give it to God, you pray about it, and then you're immediately working on plan B, that means that maybe you haven't really released it, You ever do that? God, help in this thing. They were like, okay, but here's how it's really going to work. Let's see. Right? Right? We do that. I do that. So in summary, our minds are running wild. They're out of control. To bring them back under, we can fix our mind on God, and He'll in turn fix our minds. And we're going to fix our mind on God's presence, on God's past works, on God's provision that He'll come through. And the result, when we do this, when we fix our mind on God completely in these three things, the result is this: God's peace. Then we get God's peace. When we're able to do that, we receive God's peace. Again, verses 6 and 7. We're staying in this Philippians passage. You keep your Bible open to that. We're not going to be turning around. This is our passage for the day. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the result, our mind that's out of control, running wild with anxiety, is brought under control. It settles on peace. It's like, right? It's like a breath of fresh air, right? To be able to have peace in the midst of all that. It goes from being out of control to being fixed, being repaired, being a repaired mind. And I want to point out that it says it's a peace that transcends all understanding. You guys get the significance of that? It's a peace that transcends all understanding. Meaning, the peace isn't really going to make sense, right? That your circumstances are still going to say you should have anxiety, right? That the understanding would say that you should probably still be stressed out and be anxious. Your mind should still be running wild. But God's going to grant you with a peace that surpasses understanding, that goes deeper than that. So maybe the circumstances are still going to be anxious, but yet our response could still be peace. Why? If we're fixing our minds on God, then the result is God's peace that surpasses all understanding. So you got to understand what's going on in this situation. Paul, who's writing this letter, he's in jail as he's writing this letter. He's sitting in prison. This letter is written to one of his churches that he started. They're worried about Paul, because he's in jail. He's an older guy. He's in prison. And they love him dearly. And so they're worried about him. So they get this guy, Epaphroditus. And they send, they gather up goods and things, kind of a care package for Paul. They're very worried about him as he's in jail. With good reason, right? If I was in jail, would you guys send me a care package? I hope so. So here's Paul in jail for preaching the word of God. And so they're worried about him, and so they collect this care package. They send it with Epaphroditus, and they send it to him because they're worried about him. Epaphroditus gets super sick on the trip, almost dies, and so Paul, to be an encouragement to them, he can't go to them, right, and tell them these things. He's in jail, so he has to write a letter. Praise God that he was in jail, right, because we get this letter because he was in jail, right, that we have this letter to appreciate today. So Paul writes this letter as a response to them saying, hey, I know you're anxious. I know you're worried. But you don't have to be, right? The Lord is near, right? Remember, be thankful. Remember what He's done. And take your anxiety to God. Trust in Him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So He's telling them, you don't got to worry. Did his circumstance get all better? No, he's still in jail. He's writing this from jail. Epaphroditus is sick. All the circumstances are still the same. But he says, you know what? We can still have peace, a peace that surpasses understanding. So in the midst of the chaos, they can still have peace. So he's saying it takes our mind off of the circumstances and puts and fixes our mind on God, right, instead of the circumstances. The circumstances are still going to be kind of chaotic and crazy and warrant anxiety. But our transformed mind comes when we pull that mind off of those circumstances and fix it on God. And that's where transformation in our mind begins to happen. And that's why Paul was able to say, rejoice. He starts it off, rejoice, right? In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. They say, rejoice in these great circumstances, right? They say, rejoice in your great ability to figure out the solution to the problem. Rejoice in your big checking account. Rejoice in all these things that are good in your life. No, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Because in the Lord, that's the one thing that's not changing. Right? We could fix our mind on the Lord, and peace comes from that. In the midst of that chaos, in the midst of that difficulty, we could fix our mind on those things. And when we do, the result is peace. Because the Lord is the source of our peace. And also said that he will guard our hearts, right? He said he'll guard our heart and our mind. That's a military term. If you look at the Greek, it's a military term. Where it's like standing guard at night. Like when everyone else goes to sleep, he's there watching guard. And when we can fix our mind on God, it says he will guard. He will guard our hearts and minds. So he's standing guard. There's a battle waging for your mind, right? Devil's out there trying to get you, trying to drag you down, trying to drag you into this place of fear and worry and doubt and all these things and trying to conform you into being like the world and all these things of the world. And there's a battle raging, in the midst of that battle, when we fix our minds on God, it says that he guards, he'll stand guard over our heart and over our mind. And then Paul adds two things I want to point out. So he tells us this was the main thing, right? Fix our mind on God, he's going to fix our mind. He'll take the chaos and put us in a place of peace, turn our mind from running wild into a place of order. And then he continues on with two more things about how to, he says, that one was important, but I want to point out two more things. He says, but this is how to maintain it, how to maintain your mind. So in the midst of anxiety and all that, we got to make sure we do these last two things. Because he says, finally, in verse 8, right? Finally. So he continues on. Two things to maintain our mind. First, it's thinking positive. Thinking positive. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He says, hey, to maintain this, we got to watch what we put in our mind. We got to watch what we just let into our mind. Now, we would all agree, if we put bad food in our body is going to be different, right? That what we eat affects our body. We know that, right? If we put junk in our mouth, then we're not going to feel good. We know that. It affects our body. But yet, we don't even think about that when we put junk in our minds, that affects our minds. When we're inputting garbage into our minds, that affects us. That affects our minds. We'll put any old thing in our mind. We don't really think about it. We'll let all kinds of stuff into our mind. We put all kinds of mental junk food, right? Right? Candy, mental candy and junk food into our minds all the time. There's a lot of negative stuff out there, right, in the world. And a lot of it's attractive, right? It's funny or it's exciting or entertaining. And we just let it all in. And Paul said, hold on, to maintain this, we've got to keep our minds on positive things, right? Not let this negative junk in our head. The world comes at us with all kinds of things, right? Whether it be movies or in our music or in our interactions. It's crazy, right, how that stuff sticks. And it affects me. Does it affect you? I'll tell you, if I watch too much MMA, walk around with my knuckles flexed, right? Right? You're kind of... I dare you to watch Fight Club and not walk out of there looking like this. Right? I'm talking to the men. Maybe the women aren't that way, but... Well, here's another one for the men. We know if we're watching sexually explicit stuff, what that does to us, right? About how where that puts our mind and what that does to us. Or if we're watching movies with lots of cursing in it. We're listening to music with lots of cursing. It's amazing how... I'm a child of God. I've been transformed. God's done a work in my life. But I tell you, if I watch too much stuff with too much cursing, it's right there on the tip of my tongue. And I got to fight it not to come out, right? It's amazing with that stuff, if we let that into our mind, how much it affects our mind. It goes in like a fish hook has a barb at the end. It goes in so easy. It just slips right in, it's nice and smooth, and then it grabs on, right, onto our mind. We're letting that stuff into our mind, and it affects us. And Paul says, hey, we got to be cautious about what we're letting into our mind. We got to be thinking about what we're letting in. And not just any old thing. Is that entertaining? Is that whatever? Those things affect us. So we need to be aware of that to maintain our transformed mind. Is thinking, being aware of what we're letting into our mind. So those things are pretty obvious, right? When we talk about ultra-violent stuff or ultra-sexual or, you know, just things that are very worldly and that. Those are obvious. But there's some more subtle things, too. I think the devil uses sometimes to get us off track. And some of those may be things that that we let in our mind might be kind of like maybe lies about how I'm supposed to look. We're watching stuff and we think that's how I'm supposed to be. Oh, God didn't make me like that. Well, poor me. We start being down on ourselves because we don't. Our image doesn't match this perfect image that we see on TV. Or maybe it could be lies about our expected standard of living. Well, that car is nicer than my car. Maybe I could swing that car payment if I really stretch. I'm supposed to have that car. Look how much fun they're having, you know. If I have a half hour to kill, I'll usually watch HGTV. You guys ever watch that? It's just House Hunters and stuff like that. But I tell you what, that's put so many thoughts in my head about what I'm supposed to have in a house and what a house is supposed to be, and you start choosing with them, you start getting picky, and then you start, you know, you guys do that? And it starts to, and all of a sudden you have these expectations for your life that aren't, they're not from God, those expectations. They're from the TV, right? There's a lot of ways that we can put things in our mind that kind of knock us off track. And so he's just saying, be aware of what you're putting in your mind. Listen to how he describes. Just describe what's on your DVR. Listen, is this what's on your DVR right now? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Does this describe your MP3 player? Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to overstate it in saying all this stuff is sin, but there's an important verse that came out in our last week's life transformation group that says, not everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And so am I saying all this stuff, is it wrong to read magazines that have, you know, that have advertisements in there that maybe put unfair expectations on you and your body and it puts you in a bad place? Is that sin? No. You know, is it permissible? Sure. But is it beneficial? So it's just posing the question. I think Paul is in goodness in posing the question of being aware of what we're putting into our mind. All right? And focusing on staying positive in those things, not going for those lies, taking our mind to the dark places that the world often takes it through media and through everything else. So just being aware of that, okay? Does that make sense? Do we understand that? Okay. So first, thinking positive. Second, thinking practical. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So again, thinking practical. Those things that you know, those things that you've learned, put them into practice. Do them. So to maintain all this, the stuff that we know up here, those good things that we're putting in our brain, we're learning from the Word of God, and we're focusing on God, all these positive things, right? We're focusing on the truths of God rather than the lies of the world. Okay, but take those truths and put them into practice. Do them. Because it's by doing that we really learn them, right? We think we know them until it's time to put them into practice. And that's when it really solidifies, when we're able to put this stuff into practice. Aristotle said this, One must learn by doing the thing. For though you think you know it, you have no certainty until you try. We learn by doing. You're not a big Aristotle fan. How about Jesus? Are we a fan of Jesus? This is what Jesus says. Everyone, this is right after Sermon on the Mount. He just preached his biggest portion of teaching, most famous sermon ever been given. This is his closing to the Sermon on the Mount. This is his conclusion, his closing. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So it says everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice and does them. It's not just enough to know it, it's doing it. So we need to be practical in the way we think. All right. So that we need to stay practical, that we need to be doing the things that we know. And again, what's the result? The end of verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. So we need to for our transformed mind, we got to fix our minds on God, not the craziness of the world. That's the challenge today. Fix your mind on the steadiness of God rather than on the uncertainty of the world. The world's full of uncertainty. If we're fixing our mind on the uncertainty of the world, we're going to have nothing but anxiety and mind running wild, out of control. But where transformation happens is when we fix our mind on God in the midst of that. And the world will still be crazy, uncertain, and it's going to be all kinds of reasons to be anxious. But when we're fixing our mind on God, we can still have peace in the midst of that. And I think we do have control over this. Somebody may be thinking out there, well, we don't really have control of our minds. Right? If I say, don't think of a white polar bear, what do you guys all think of right now? You all thought of a white polar bear, right? You can't not do it, right? Well, our mind does what it wants. Well, but we do have control. We can then turn it, right? We do have control over our mind. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that. It tells us that to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Isn't that a great verse? Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So as our minds run wild, you take that thought, make it captive, hold it down, submission hold, right? And then you take it to Christ. And God, you know, Christ is the Lord of our lives. We'd recognize that. But part of that is he's Lord of our minds and our thoughts. And we need to submit everything under the Lordship of Christ. And as we do, our mind is transformed, which leads to then life transformation. Okay, let's pray. Well, God, I thank you that you care enough about us, that you don't leave us in our anxiety and fear and worry, that you care about our whole self, including our minds. God, I pray for help in this. God, that you would give me the strength to always, that you'd always be keeping on my mind that your presence with me and that how much you've shown yourself to care and that I would be able to trust in you because of that. God, I pray that for all of us, that we would continue to be able to fix our mind on you. And you would show the things of the world as we're fixing our minds on you. You'd show the things of the world to be as uncertain as they are and as off base as they are. And we just take comfort and peace in you. Help us in that going forward. I pray that for all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.